Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
In a world full of straight people,
aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race?
RuPaul's Drag Race, may the best drag queen win. Drag queen win.
And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
I'm Matt McConkie. I'm a writer, performer, and host of this podcast about And Just Like That. But now that we've recapped both seasons of the show, I couldn't help but wonder, should I go back and cover the original Sex and the City? The answer, of course, is no, but I can't be stopped, so every week I'll be joined by my very own Mirandas and Charlottes to unpack an episode or movie of their choosing. We're doing Sex and the City Roulette with extra Samantha and none of the Che. And just like Matt, welcome to the show. Well, friends, I know that all of you listening come to this podcast looking for two things, labels and love. And you are going to get both of those things today and so much more, because we're taking you back to 2008. Carrie's in a Mexicoma because Big has left her at the altar. Miranda has foam on her face like a real asshole because Steve had an affair. And Samantha is getting morbidly obese because she's overwhelmed. She's making her life all about making Smith Jared a movie star. Charlotte's shitting herself. It's the Sex and the City movie, folks, the first one, all 2 hours and 26 minutes of it. And for this very special episode, I am joined by both labels and love. I've got two superstar guests for you. First up, he is fresh off his run in Titanic off-Broadway, where he has performed two of his solo shows. And to quote him about himself, if you're going to go to his IMDb, you better pack a lunch because... You've seen him in Your Honor, Bob's Burgers, The Goldbergs, Search Party. Soon you'll see him in Queer, directed by Luca Guadagnino, and Pool Man, directed by Chris Pine. I mean, those credits make Smith Jared look like a true loser. Drew Droege, welcome.
Hi, Matt. First of all, to be fair, I did say pack a lunch on IMDb as a character. I would never say that about myself.
No, I know.
Shout out. Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for being
good
here.
To see you. Oh my gosh, of course. I'm so excited to do this.
Well, speaking of credits, our next guest, I mean, my oh my, you'll need more than a lunch. Actually, you should meal prep for at least a week because we're talking Alias, Big Little Lies, American Horror Stories, Shining Veil, also this podcast. It goes on and on and on. And last time she was here, we outlined her entire character for In Just Like That season 3. So hopefully you can look for her there too in the future. Fresh off her very own Sex and the City-esque wedding, the newlywed herself,
Baron Dungey.
Congratulations on the nuptials. Let's start with that wedding. Tell us every single thing.
Yes, awesome. Please.
Well, listen, we have a lot of ground to cover, so I don't want to, you know, because the movie is a thing. But as an enormous Sex and the City fan, and as a nod to all of the fan, I wore the blue shoes. I wore the blue Carrie Big shoes.
Wow. Are they the exact same pair? Or no.
$1,200. Like, I know. But I found a pair that is a really good knockoff. And it was perfect. It was like, it was my something blue. And because I had like a modern dress, one shoulder. We'll put a photo with maybe the podcast, but the feature was legs. And then the real feature was shoes. And it was like if not, everyone was like, oh my God, those are super fun, touch of blue. But if you knew, like when we posted, it was like, the Carrie fans were like, ah, you did it, you know, because it's such a moment for this movie. And it's so funny because I was doing a rewatch the other night and my husband was like, because he was like, I don't know, like what happened with this? He doesn't know. And so I said, this is the moment when she first puts the shoes in the closet of the new, of Heaven on Fifth. And Kevin was like, what? He's like, I can't believe it. Like a little... like a secret in our, you know, like what are those things called when you hide an Easter egg in our wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did an Easter egg, but it was important. It was important.
So important. And you, last time I think you described your new husband, Kevin, as your Aiden.
Yeah, I mean, yes, for sure. Yeah, because I mean, big is like, there's nothing elusive or shitty or arrogant about my husband in the way that big has all of those mm-hmm. things. Actually, it is a wonderful thing that they, you know, get together, because I do think that Carrie and big are right, but I do think she blew it 100% with Aiden, which is what I love what's happening yeah. in And Just Like That, you know, although whatever, we'll see what happens there. But yes, my husband is much more of an Aiden, where I also had to go, what are we wearing? What are we doing? What's happening? How can I help?
he didn't wear the jacket that Aiden wore and Just Like That.
You mean the horrible military thing? Jacket? No, mine is like, I'm going to just wear shorts. I'm like, not to this occasion. Like, it's like, you know, he's a radio guy. He doesn't need to, nobody's looking at him.
Drew, when I asked you to be on this episode, you know, you were very excited, of course, to be on with Maren, and you know, you confessed you had never seen this film, which fine, you know, it's normal. But then you added kind of an alarming fact, which was that you, not only had you not seen this film, but you had seen Sex and the City Part 2. So what is your journey with these women? What is the relationship?
Yeah, welcome to me. I'm like I don't know why I. It's the weirdest thing that I can't believe I haven't seen this movie, especially when I was looking up and it was like, oh, it made over $400 million. Everyone has seen this movie. And it's one of those weird like things, like as a gay man, it's like Barbara Streisand that I just didn't follow. Like I think the show came out at a time, or I know it came out at a time where I was like late college and then moving out to LA and like getting started. It never hooked me in a way. And you can't escape it in a way. Like I know about those blue shoes, like when, you know, I'm like, I know about Aiden and I know about big and like, yeah, I know of it. I just never really watched I've seen episodes of the show, but never really followed it. And so when the movie came out, it just wasn't on my radar of things to see. And then every year usually I get together with friends in Palm Springs and we watch movies that we can sit on the couch and drink wine and laugh at and talk about, mm-hmm. you know, camp, like what's, you know, what are we going to watch? And so that's how I saw Sex and the City 2. And so my introduction was Liza Minnelli singing Single Ladies. And I'm sure you're going to talk about this in another episode, at a wedding. And I'm like, what is happening? And the, you know, and so that I was great to watch first, because it really made me love this one.
Yeah, this one really does look like a true masterpiece in comparison. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
There's like one great scene in two, as far as I'm concerned, that scene between Miranda and Charlotte when they're talking about being moms. Like that scene is the one real great earthy moment.
Uh-huh.
This one has like, it's 70% amazing. And then there's 30% what?
Fully.
What?
I didn't experience a moment of that. I don't know what you're talking about, Maren. I guess you'll tell me when we get to it. You know, I think a good way for us to get into it is kind of the way that we get into the movie itself, which is the opening. You know,
can I pause for just 2 seconds? Because I just
please.
Need to say that my best friend, Sarah, who I went to high school with, like this was our show. And so when the movie came out, like when we watched the last episode of the series, we got together, we had these like heart-shaped cookies that I had broken in half because our hearts were broken. Like, I mean, it was,
oh, wow.
This movie guided us through our 30s. Like, you know, so when the movie came out, I had just had my first child. And so getting like arranging time to get there, like it was an event. It was a real moment. And I crying as it started, like, cause it was just that it was, and how they show the clips from the show in the opening, you know, Charlotte going like, I've been single for 20 years. Like, where is he? You know, or whatever. And it's just like all those things, because it was just all of us. And it was a packed theater, like opening day, packed, sobbing. Go on.
Yes. Thank you. Because it takes you back immediately. And it's like, holy shit, we've been through so much.
So much.
God, have we been through a lot. But you know, it opens and there's a bit of a fake out, because you're expecting to hear that good old theme song. But it's actually not that. It's actually Fergie singing what will, of course, go on to become a timeless classic. It's called Labels Are Love. And it's sort of a remix of the Sex and the City theme song. Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to read, I copied and pasted a bunch of the lyrics. But I wonder if, since I'm with two thespians, would you like to do sort of a dramatic reading of this poetry? I could put it into the chat.
I'd be honored. I'd be honored.
I mean, I hate to ask you to cold read.
I brought the glasses.
Okay, I'm going to drop this into the chat. And, you know, Maren, why don't you take as much as you want, and then you can toss it to Drew.
Here we go. Right. Shopping for labels, shopping for love. Manolo, Louis, it's all I'm thinking of. Turn the lights on. I already know what my addiction is. I be looking for labels. I ain't looking for love. I shop for purses while love walks out the doors. Drew?
Don't cry. Buy a bag and get over it. And I'm not concerned with all the politics. Politics? Maren?
It's a lot of men. I know I could find another. Find another. All I know is that I'm always happy when I walk out the store. Store. Store.
Oh my God. Sweet. Just gonna bask in that for a moment.
I really, yeah.
Should we just end the show?
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
I am forever changed. I'm forever changed. That is,
yeah, it's quite a wow of an opening. And you know, and it's followed by this, you know, kind of montage recap of sort of a giant version of the previously on. But I'm with you, Maren. Like, it took me back viscerally to being in that theater and just the thrill of like being with my friends again after I don't know how many years it had been off the air. And pretty quickly we get into real estate.
Sure.
And that's sort of a recurring thing. We talked recently about that episode where Carrie doesn't have enough money to buy her apartment and Charlotte eventually gives her her engagement ring to help her get the money. That one always strikes a nerve because it's such a relatable topic, because sometimes that paycheck just doesn't seem to come quick enough. But look, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, you verify your paycheck, then you access up to $100 a day as you work, leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I've got my husband's birthday coming up. I want to give him a nice gift. He's a man who likes the nicer things in life. So that's certainly how I would use the extra money I'd get from Earnin. Download Earnin today. It's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Just Like Matt under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Just Like Matt under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. You know, one of the many, many things I have in common with our Lord and Savior, Oprah Winfrey, is that I love bread. I do. I love it. It's my favorite thing. When they drop that basket on the table at a restaurant, I light up, I dive in, and then I go, oh no, don't have too many. What am I going to do? Because the carb fear can be very real. But luckily, Hero Bread is here with those same delicious favorites, but free of consequences or compromises, because they have remade carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And right now, if you go to hero.co and use code LIKEMATT, you'll get 10% off your order. So whether your health goals are getting enough fiber or cutting down on sugar or adding more protein, or you want to find a way to make a delicious French toast or a breakfast sandwich that still fits in with those goals, it's all about the Hero Bread.
So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your first order. Go to hero.co and use code LikeMatt at checkout. That's LikeMatt at hero.co. Because you can have your bread and eat it too.
Were you going to say something, Maren?
I was just going to say, I'm really grateful that they turned the volume way the hell down on that song. Because if I had heard the lyrics when that, I mean, it would have ruined everything. Like I would have ruined, I would have had to leave. Because that was, what is that?
I didn't even clock that at the beginning. I mean, I'm just getting started. I'm getting into this world.
Yeah.
And I didn't even clock those lyrics. And I'm glad I didn't.
Same. Yeah. Go on.
I guess neither of you were listening to the soundtrack endlessly like I was.
I'm so sorry. I should go.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Then we very quickly get into the apartment thing. And there's so much is made of like where Carrie is going to live and not live in this movie, but also in, and just like that, this becomes a thing, you know. But in this opening sequence, Big buys her this penthouse dream apartment. And, you know, I do hate Big with the fire of 1,000 suns, but I got to admit that move really made me feel some things.
When he said, "I got it," and winked at Did everyone have a little whoop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's hot.
100%. I was like, marry him. Hot. But, you know, the way he proposes it, this in this casual, you know, kitchen conversation when he just says, "Did you want to get married?" Given everything we know now about what happens after that, hard not to see that as just the reddest of flags. Drew, what do you make of Big?
I was sort of like, I didn't know that Carrie wasn't like able, like she seems so, I mean, like these people, like just, they have so much wealth and abundance, and the show is just decadence. It's just, you know, so I didn't know that why she couldn't have her own place, or like, it was just beyond, I mean, I don't know.
She's never, like, there's a whole episode, you know, I guess maybe season 5 where she can't afford to buy her house after she's with Aiden. Aiden buys her, they buy their apartment and the apartment next door. And then it's a whole thing where she has to buy, he like is like giving her 30 days to buy it back when they break up. And there's a great joke where she says, "I am literally the old woman who lives in her shoes," because she spent all her money. Yeah. And then Charlotte comes to the rescue and sells off her ring from Trey to give her the money to pay for the thing. So Carrie's a fucking freeloader is the bottom line, even though she's like, sold all these books. So yes, she could have kept the apartment, but I think there was like symbolism in it. Like it didn't, even rewatching it, it didn't bother me so much the casualness of it in that he has been married twice.
Right.
And honestly, like you have those kind, like my husband and I have both been married before. So you have those sort of, it's more casual. It's not this big thing, you know, where you jumbotron it, you know, or whatever. You don't necessarily do that. It's transactional in the, like I was like, we're not living, we can do this forever, but I have teen daughters. Like we're not going to we're not going to buy a house or live together if there's nothing more than that, because I think it's important as a woman, as a Black woman, as, you know, mom of teen girls. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, so it really hit me completely different this time. It wasn't a red flag. It was like, it's transactional. You need to actually, like the, how Miranda was saying, like, you need to know you have something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Business.
They do make an effort to protect Big in this as much as they can. It's just, I hate him so much. I can't interpret everything that he does in a negative way. I can't help myself. But, you know, another thing that struck me is, you know, this scene when Carrie calls Samantha to tell her the news, and Samantha has this kind of non-reaction and sort of hangs up the phone awkwardly and then calls back and is like, "I'm sorry, I'd put you in my never getting married file." And it's very sweet and you understand, but like, knowing what we know now, again, in the And Just Like That universe, where there is this big rift between Samantha and Carrie, one could read this moment as like kind of a turning point in their friendship.
Yeah, I noticed a lot. I mean, knowing, like, being sort of like, but you can't escape the fact that the whole, the Kim Cattrall being away from it at all. But I noticed even in this movie, I was like, oh, she's in LA with Smith a lot. Like, yeah. Samantha's already kind of separated herself from the other three in a lot of ways. So yeah.
Yeah, but it also, if you then go, not that we knew what the second movie was, like, she's there. Right. So it's,
yeah,
like,
you're right. Yeah.
You know, well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't know that then. None of them knew that then, but I was sort of clocking all
that.
No,
I mean, they didn't get along back then. Like, all of that is very much true.
Right, but, yeah.
I just, the whole Samantha of it in this movie is like, oh, anyway, go on.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we learn pretty quickly that Miranda and Steve are having problems. They're in a no coloring phase, as they say. Although he does show his butt. He looks great.
It's great. I literally wrote down, I took notes and was like, Miranda's husband, hot. And then I was like, he's.
And can still talk like a normal person.
I love him. I think he's wonderful.
I don't know what happened to the actual actor. Is there like something medically that happened to his mouth? Because he now, in his new series, everything is so yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I don't know if there was like a jaw surgery, a stroke. Like, I don't, it's really to, like, not, I don't want to make fun of it.
Yeah. It's confusing. It's a bit like he's almost doing a caricature of Steve later. But in this movie, he's doing great. And he's looks great.
And Miranda is like peak bitch.
Yeah.
Always been. Yeah. I love Miranda. Every time I've clocked in, I'm like, that's who I always knew I would relate with. But yeah, she's the best.
I love her because she's the realest of them. But like, I also just rewatched Splat, which we were maybe going to talk about. She is so wanting Carrie to stay single for her. And like, that whole scene is such a beautiful scene of like, I cannot stay single and be in the same spot for you. And that is all very much Miranda. Miranda wants, go on.
I mean, another way I'm always sort of like looking back and trying to rewrite history. I mean, they didn't have any of these things planned at the time, but again, knowing what we know now, and just like that, Miranda has declared herself just purely a lesbian.
Wondering
if some of that is bubbling beneath the surface here with her, dry spell with Steve.
Yeah.
So at the rehearsal dinner, Miranda says to Big, she's upset about her own marriage. And she says to Big, you're crazy to get married. Marriage ruins everything. He's already feeling shaky about things, but arguably this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. He eventually leaves her at the altar, which we'll talk about. But, I am wondering if either of you think Miranda bears any guilt at all for what she says, Maren.
Yes and no. Like, I do think that that she was very upset and that, like, she could have walked it back. I mean, the whole Lily phone of it later, where she's like, Lily hides the phone and this kind of killed. But I also will, like, in the same casualness that he asked her, because he just wants it simple and she wanted it simple. And like, I feel like everybody else ramped it up. Like, like she needed like the dress and the Vogue and and like all these things like ramped it up. And I get it. It's like her first real wedding. And Big's like, I don't want all that, I want it quiet and simple. And, so I do feel bad for him in that respect because he's embarrassed a little bit, like third time's a charm. Like he doesn't need to have it be the thing that it becomes. And I feel like there's a lot of the responsibility is shared, but really it's that bitch Lily with her fucking phone, like hiding the phone.
The ultimate villain.
Infuriating. Really. Children ruin everything.
Babies are
rude. That's the real lesson.
The worst.
I have a tattoo. Babies are rude.
I would love.
You got it immediately after seeing this movie, right?
Yes, exactly. You had time. It's a long movie. You had time to get that all done.
Folks, sunnier days are a-coming. Summer's right around the corner. We're all on our wellness journeys, and I can think of no better way to kickstart your new healthy routine than with Factor Meals. And right now, if you go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use our code likematt50, you'll get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription's active. So with Factor Meals,
There are 35 different meal options, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so you've always got new flavors to explore. You can make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert, everything in between. You'll stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. I'm talking filet mignon. I'm talking shrimp. I'm talking blackened salmon. And factory meals are ready in 2 minutes, so no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup. Head to factormeals.com right now. Go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use code likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code likematt50 at factormeals.com/likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
So I feel kind of both ways as well. I feel like, yes, Miranda was upset. You say things when you're upset. This had just happened to her. It was very emotional that Steve sort of ambushed her in this sort of situation. And she shouldn't have said that at a wedding party. Like, how dare you? Like, that's tacky and it's awful. However, if that's all it took for Big, and granted, I sort of found out later, like, I think we're supposed to find out later that, like, she made the wedding bigger than Big and all that. And he does say, how would this make me look in my third marriage? But that kind of comes off like he's being rude when he says that, in my opinion. But if Miranda's offhand comment is all it takes for him to go, I'm having second thoughts, huge red flag.
Right.
You should not have done that. Because I was like, Miranda, that is not her fault. That she did not break them up.
Yeah.
So Carrie's reaction is insane to me. And Carrie has a lot of insane reactions to me in this whole movie, where it's like, I was kind of going like, oh, that's like Miranda's upset. That's a shitty thing to say. But that was not enough, in my opinion, at all, for him to go, ooh, I'm going to put the brakes on this. Like, that's,
yeah.
It's certainly, I mean, not.
Big is a dick. Like, there is so many things about him that it's like all the time,
it's a recurring thing.
I would just say, like, Carrie should have the awareness that, like, this guy's a dick. My friend said this thing. That's all it took. Fuck this guy, you know, heartbroken, but moving on versus the, like, you know.
Yes. No. But, had she had her phone and they were able to have a conversation.
You're right.
You know, obviously it's all a device to, like, make these things happen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is just, you know, I mean, we didn't even touch upon the auction that preceded all of this. That made her think, oh, I need, like, to handle my business so I don't get left and, like, locked out of my house, which was, like, smart. That was a smart, like, story point. And then you have what's her name from Rent, who should not have been in
that. Daphne Rubin Vega.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, with her, like, sadness. And, yeah, anyway, somebody really liked Rent and just wanted to give her the part. But, you know, like, there's just there, you have to have the devices to make it. Like, I will say this, at the time, at the age I was, I loved all of it. I bought it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's much more, like, introspection and, you know, we know more, I'm like, what? But at the time, I was not the only one in the audience sobbing. And look, whatever her reactions are, she sold it. It whipping him with those flowers, like,
oh, God,
it was really a thing. And Charlotte was great in that too.
Yes,
she's always very shaky to me, but she was great. You know, when she was like, meow! Like, it was like, that moment was,
woo.
Yeah,
that.
It's, I want to give Charlotte her flowers because she doesn't have as much to do in the movie. I mean, she has her pregnancy thing. We'll get to that later.
Pudding cups. They just give her a pudding
cup. It's mostly pudding and diarrhea, but moment, it just, like, the fact that she has that moment and then quickly, you know, hobbling back to the limo with her, like, her tiny steps because her dress is so narrow. And then and then the moment later with Big in the restaurant when she her water breaks. It's like just her like fierce dedication to her friends is so moving to me. Like I cry every time I watch this movie multiple times.
Same.
And a lot of it has to do with Charlotte. I mean, and then we get to the Mexicoma, and this is like,
this is where I cry too. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about the same thing, it's first they really put us through hell. It is a brutal, like, they don't pull any punches here. It's like,
that's, you know, that moment where Carrie, they show up at the hotel, Carrie looks in the mirror, no makeup. Obviously, SJP, always beautiful, but it's like, it is so, she looks so tired. It's so raw, brutal, so yeah. real. It's just fucking brutal. She sleeps through multiple days. And then we have this moment, Maren.
Look, I'm going to say this. Two things, because this moment with her and Samantha is beyond. But how they, you're right, they, how they handled it, how they played it out was beautiful. Like he really, really let it just, it just, the pages were turning and things were happening. And it was the reason why we put up with the, all the cuckoo is when they are really, truly those women, when they're really, truly honest, because they're all great actors. They all can do it and they all have it. And when they are honest, they are the best and we love it and we totally keep going. And we can sit through the, you know, watching her, you know, do the dancing and the, you know, coming out of her closet and packing up the house and all that shit. That's like
a lot of montage,
but all that like stuff. That's like, come on, like, you know, but I will also say SJP commits. She commits, whether she is crawling on the ground with that, you know, crazy 80s dress, or she is zero makeup and lost, she commits, which is what makes this work so well. And same with Kim, when she is not, you know, like crazy watching sex and like, you know, doing crazy things. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment between the two of them when she spoon feeds her. You just, you need it. You, we, it, it sobs every time, every time. I love it. It gives me chills. I have chills talking about it.
It's so beautiful. And it's like, it's amazing how, you know, there's so many times when you're watching the movie and you're of course reading between the, thinking about the Kim Cattrall of it all and them not liking each other and like, oh, is that why they put her in LA? So they didn't have to have as many scenes with her. And is that why they weirdly body shame her and they make
that
sure they
so
constantly remind,
like,
oh, it's so crazy. They constantly remind you that she's older. She's turning 50
yeah,
and we're not
50
yet.
They literally clock at the beginning. They're like, I'm 41. I just turned 40. And then it's like wedding cake with 50 in front of her. And you're like, okay.
And yeah,
when you're
like, 40s, okay.
When you're in your 40s, you really don't distinguish between your friends in their 30s, your friends in their 50s or
exactly
20, 60. Like you really just, you're in an eight. I mean, as someone well into my 40s, I'm like, I don't think of that like, oh, my older friend, my younger, you know, I don't know.
But
anyway.
Again, so you're, those are the moments that I'm wondering, like, is this why Kim Cattrall hates them? But then you're also like, this yogurt spoon feeding moment makes up for, I'm like, there's so much love between them. It transcends, you know, whatever the problems are off camera.
And you also, they're both, they are both great actors. And you also wonder how much of their drama has been trumped up. Just like in the Betty and Joan of it all. It's like, you know, you just don't always get along with your people, but you don't hate these. You know, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think that there is there is no white hot hate. I just, I think like, you know, we know like any show, any set you're on, like, I mean, Sarah and Cynthia have known each other since they were children. They've been working together since they were children, you know? And I think that like, you know, everybody's got ego. There's always clicks.
Of course.
It doesn't matter. There's always, and so we'll never really know the honest truth of like who and what, why. But like, when you are a good actor, you can transcend that, and you can just go past.
Yeah. But you just made me long for the day that Ryan Murphy does a season of Feud about SJP.
Oh my God! Yes.
I can't wait to beg to be staffed in that room.
Oh my God! Absolutely.
You know, there's a recurring motif in the Sex and the City universe that has come up on this podcast an insane number of times because I forgot how much it comes up in the show and its movie, which is pubic hair. Just it's pubes on pubes. All and then it's wild. In this instance, it's Miranda. They're in Mexico. She hasn't trimmed. Samantha pube shames her. What do you think is going on in this moment
fight.
Of time?
That fight felt really crazy to me between Samantha and Miranda. It was just like, wait, what's happening right now over like some pubes?
They talk about pubes so much in this show.
I just want to say this as the only female on the podcast, we don't, as women, talk about each other's pubic hair. Like you just,
thank you.
It never comes up.
Right.
Like the only way it comes up is it's like, I'm looking for a new, you know, esthetician. Like That's it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. Like you just don't talk about it. So, but I will say this, that Samantha is always very like wildly raw and like wants to say shit. And she's, you know, and Miranda's hyper sensitive. Like she's so like, you know, like this makes me think about the, you know, her being a lesbian. Like it's like, you know, she's so touchy about all of it, all of the, you know, what, you know, like, why are you looking at me like that? Like, why, you know, why are you, you know, she's so hot under the collar. It's like, fucking calm down.
Yeah.
It's also a sign that you're not having sex if you have a full set of pubic hair. Maybe that's how Steve likes it. I mean, it was such a strange thing but I even think as gay men, I don't know, Matt, we don't really talk about pubes either. I mean, I don't really know that ever comes up in conversation other than, oh my God, it was crazy down there, or oh my God, it was fully waxed and shaved and it looked like upsetting or whatever. But like, it's only when it's in like an extreme situation. And so I don't really understand who that was for us to be like, sort of like, oh, she has, but it was shot in a way that I had to stop and go, wait, what am I looking at? Because, and not just because I'm a gay man, but I was like, the way it was shot underneath, I was like, this almost was like, you know, this wild John Waters moment of just sort of like, wow.
I have to think that somebody on, like, maybe it is Michael, what's his name? Like maybe
Michael, what's your name?
Is a huge John Waters fan, because there's, they think the poop is funny. They love poop.
Right.
And pubic hair. Like that has happened, you know, several times, you know, where she couldn't take a shit at Big
stuff. Yes.
Started. Like, and I mean, that was cute in the idea that like, there is that thing of like, oh my God, I don't want to be a person in front of this person I love. You
know, like
they can't see me as a person. But yeah, like the whole Charlotte pudding thing is.
It's really, it's also, I mean, it's a moment where you're like, if you're going to go there, then go there. And I was like, oh, this was 3 years before Bridesmaids. So, you know, when Bridesmaids does it, they just go fully there. And it's just, you're going to get, and if you're, this is bothers you, then I don't know.
It's funny in Bridesmaids. I found it
hilarious.
Funny.
Hilarious.
Cringy.
It's cringy. It's also, it feels casually racist that I think it's just because of the time, but it's also like, oh, and don't drink the water in Mexico. And there was this whole thing about like, there were moments when I was kind of like, ugh. Because a lot of it is she keeps going, Mexico.
I know. Like, it's insane. So
like, oh, this
like from St. Elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, oh, you know, this is Mexico. It's not like, you know, and her drinking the water and then all of a sudden, but the poop was too little and not enough at the same time. I was kind of going, if you're going to go there, I don't need to, you know, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, you're absolutely right. Like the fact that it's Bridesmaids, it was funny because they went full bore, like go all the way. Like she took a shit in the street in a wedding dress. Like,
and they're humiliated. And Bridesmaids, they're humiliated by it because the stakes are high and Kristen's trying to put on a good face. And like, she's trying to pretend like it wasn't her that did it. And like Maya's humiliated in the street. Melissa's upset. Like everybody in that movie is so like, oh my God. And we're in this, it's like, she's just doing this, you hear this gurgling, and then the other three of them laugh for such an insane amount of time that it starts to go like, what is going on in this? It's like, I mean, I knew you needed that moment to bring them all together, but I was like, why is that so funny? I mean, I think in the moment you would go, we can laugh watching it, but for those women, I mean, maybe laugh a little bit, but you're like, honey, let me help you. And oh my God, but instead it was just sort of like, oh, Charlotte, God, you know, it's wild to me.
I go for a cheap moment every once in a while and I just go, and then don't get me started on the racist undertones when we get to the assistant. Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Oh, we'll
get into all of it. Yeah. Oh, and it's so interesting that Charlotte had this idea that being not just Mexico, but like a 5-star resort in Mexico, that like a splash of water in her mouth would make her sick. But then also crazy that she was correct. No. Ultimately, she was correct, I guess.
Folks, that is just part one of a 2-part conversation. It's an epic movie, so this turned into an epic chat. So just join us next week and you will hear the rest of my conversation with Maren and Drew.
And that's our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at And Just Like Matt Pod. And Just Like Matt is a World of Wonder production created and hosted by me, Matt McConkey. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky. And our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.